Christ. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus answered the Jews, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also called God his own Father, making himself equal to God." Jesus answered and said to them, "Amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For what he does, the Son will also do. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, so that you may be amazed. Just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wishes. Nor does the Father judge anyone. He has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. Amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life and will not come to condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him the power to exercise judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because the hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good deeds to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked deeds to the resurrection of condemnation. I cannot do anything on my own. I judge as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you,
Lord. On Ash Wednesday, we talked about the whole purpose of Lent. It's to enter into a life-giving communion with God the Father. Jesus said we're supposed to pray, fast, and give alms differently from everybody else. We're not supposed to pray so that others will notice. We're supposed to go to our inner room to meet the Father where our real treasure is, whether we're praying alone in an empty house or whether we're praying on a street corner in Manhattan on Christmas. We're supposed to have that communion with the Father in our prayer. Likewise, when we fast, we're supposed to be fasting not for others to notice, but fasting so that we might begin to hunger for what God the Father hungers for. When we give alms, we're not supposed to be doing it so that others will say, "What a nice gal, what a nice guy." We're supposed to be giving alms so that we share in the providence that God has put into our hands as a divine depository, not for our own selfish pursuits, but to help him care for his sons and daughters. All of Lent is supposed to be our coming to our own senses, whether we're the younger son or the older son in the parable of the prodigal son, both of whom totally missed who their father was in the incredible treasure of his love. That's what Lent is all about. Today we begin a couple weeks of very difficult readings in St. John's Gospel. And it's important for us to break them down and to take the opportunity to recognize how what Jesus is doing is precisely revealing the Father to us, because Christ is the icon of the Father's love. Today in the Gospel, he shows three ways that he images for us the Father. The first is that just as the Father never takes a day off out of loving us, so neither the Son. The Father rested on the seventh day from creation, but he never takes time off from mercy and grace and loving his children. Even if a breastfeeding mom, Isaiah tells us at the end of today's first reading, were able to forget her needy child, God would never be able to forget us. And so He loves us 24/7. He loves us eternally. And that's the work of charity that the Father's always doing, that the Son was always doing, no matter what day anybody needed charity, and that He wants us to do. This came because you know that when Jesus cured the man who had been crippled for 38 years, at the beginning of this chapter in St. John's Gospel, which we heard yesterday, He was criticized not for doing good, but for doing wicked evil by breaking the Sabbath. So Jesus wanted to wake everybody up. My Father is at work until now, and so I am at work. And the principal work of the Father is the loving salvation of all His sons and daughters. And Jesus is never going to take vacation from that. Second thing Jesus reveals is within that work of the Father, He's imitating exactly what He sees the Father do, and He hears and does exactly what the Father commands. Because Jesus' work is not to do His own thing. Jesus' work is precisely to do the work of the Father. Amen, amen, Jesus swears an oath. I say to you, Son can't do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. For what He does, the Son will also do. Just as the Father has done incredible works, and we see that throughout the Old Testament, the great miracles, we can say, in the liberation of the Jews from Pharaoh's clutches, Jesus is going to do far greater so that everyone will be amazed. He says many times in this passage, I can't do anything on my own. I don't seek to do my own will, but the will of the One who sent me. We've got a tremendous amount to learn from that. Are we about doing our own will or doing God the Father's will? If we're truly followers of Jesus, we're going to imitate Him in always seeking to do the Father's will and to work out of love for others without taking a vacation, without saying, hey, sorry, I breastfed you this morning. Why are you still hungry, you little runt? No, just like a mom would never do that to a baby who was hungry. Just like God the Father would never stiff us if we were still in need. So we can't say, I already gave it the office. Go ask somebody else for some alms. Second thing Jesus reveals, that He hears the Father, He imitates the Father, He obeys the Father in doing, is in giving life. The Father is the source of all life, but all was created through the Son. And Jesus says, just as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life to whomever He wishes. He will go on to say, amen, amen, I say to you, the hour is coming, is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Amen, I say to you, whoever hears My word and believes in the One who sent Me has eternal life. Eternal life is ultimately a relationship with the Father. And if we're going to have a relationship with the Father, the only way we ever will is through, with, and in the Son. Eternal life is not just a fact of a future resurrection. It is a relationship with the One who will tell us later, I am the resurrection and the life. That's how Jesus is able to give life. Just as the Father has life and the Son has life because of the Father, so Jesus will say, anyone who lives and believes in Me will have life because of Me. Because when we're living and believing in the Son, we're believing in the Father who sent Him. That's the way it works. Likewise, we're supposed to be life givers. And the greatest life we can pass on to others is this spiritual life in Christ. It's the greatest gift of all. Third thing that the Father does in union that the Son does in union with the Father is judgment. But this judgment is meant to be a merciful judgment. But that's all dependent on us. Jesus says, the Father doesn't judge anyone. He's given all judgment to the Son. But Jesus will say later, I judge as I hear, and My judgment is just. Even though it's the Son who's executing the judgment, He's doing that in communion with what He hears from the Father. Why does the Father give judgment to the Son, so that everyone may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. The Father wants us to honor the Son, because whoever doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. In the same way, we could make it parallel. Jesus founded the church. Whoever doesn't honor his bride, his body, the church, doesn't honor Jesus. Jesus, when he would send out his first disciples, would say, "Those who hear you, hear me. And those who hear me, hear the one who sent me." That's the way it works. That if we trust in the Father, we trust in the Son he sent. If we trust in the Son and believe in him, we trust in what he founded. We trust that they sent the Holy Spirit to guide the church in all truth. And that's why we honor the church. We believe in the church. And then Jesus summarizes all that he wants to do. Just as the Father has life in himself, he gave to the Son the possession of life in himself. And he gave him power to exercise judgment because he's the Son of Man. The Father gave everything over to the Son. And the Son's now putting that work into action. "Don't be amazed at this," he says. "The hour is coming in which all in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good deeds, those who have lived in communion with the Father and the Son to the resurrection of life. But those who have done wicked deeds, those who have by their own choice separated themselves from that communion to the resurrection of condemnation." These three things Jesus reveals to us. He's going to continue later. But that he works as the Father works. He gives life as the Father gives life. He exercises judgment as he hears from the Father based on whether we've responded to his appeal to enter into that communion of love or not. Jesus is ultimately the incarnation of the mercy of the Father. Again, the Lord is gracious and merciful, and Jesus put a human face on that grace and on that mercy. It's all about mercy. The mercy far more tender than the most loving mercy, the most loving mother's merciful care for a beloved infant. Today we mark the 9th anniversary of the transitus to the Father's house of blessed, soon to be Saint, John Paul II. John Paul II, in his encyclical about God the Father, started the whole thing off right at the beginning with describing how Jesus put into flesh who the Father really is and all the Father really wants. That encyclical was released in 1980. It was called Dives in Misericordia, God the Father who is rich in mercy. I'll just read you the first paragraph because it shows, as a summary, everything Jesus has revealed in this section of John 5. "It is God who is rich in mercy," John Paul II wrote, "whom Jesus Christ has revealed to us as Father. It is his very Son who in himself has manifested him and made him known to us." It's through the Son that we know the Father. "Memorable in this regard is the moment when Philip, one of the 12 apostles, turned to Christ and said, 'Lord, show us the Father and we shall be satisfied.' And Jesus replied, 'Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father.'" John Paul II says, "These words were spoken during the farewell discourse at the end of the Paschal Supper, which was followed by the events of those holy days during which confirmation was to be given once and for all of the fact that God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is Christ who gives life by the power of the Father. It is God who is rich in mercy, whom Jesus has revealed to us as Father. It is his very Son who in himself manifested him and made him known to us." I don't know why there's a repeat there. Excuse me for repeating. Okay. We come together alive with Christ Jesus. John Paul II was one who preached this, but he also lived it. He was putting into flesh Christ's own visage, and the countenance of the Father. And you see that in John Paul II's paternal and spousal love, which he received by the power of the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son, respectively. Today, on his 9th anniversary of his return to the Father's eternal embrace, we thank God for his witness, we thank the Lord for his words, and we ask him to intercede for us so that just like he did throughout his entirety of his life, might recognize that Jesus fully reveals not only God to us, but fully reveals the human person to himself and shows us that our supreme vocation is to give of ourselves unselfishly, as Jesus himself, at the will of the Father, gave his body and blood, holding nothing back for us. This, John Paul II says, is the entirety of the meaning of our existence. Let us ask the Father to help us to love like he loves, to be gracious and merciful as he is, and to care for all those children who need his breast milk. Praise be Jesus Christ.